Chapter 2. Dennis Mitchell remained within the small fishing community for a little more than a year. The townsfolk were very kind and were a great source of support as he regained his physical well-being. When he was healthy enough, the fishermen gave him employment mending nets as well as repairing and performing maintenance on their boats. That way, he was able to support himself and pay for his share of the food. He was provided lodging by the widowed daughter of the matriarch and was a tremendous asset to that household by lending a hand with the chores and taking care of some of the many general maintenance duties that had been neglected over the course of Isabel's daughter's grieving process. Isabel and the others were initially thrilled to see that Evelyn was, for the first time in more than 5 years since the death of her husband, finally beginning to get on with her life. It became apparent from her frequent laughter, not heard since that tragic accident on the docks years ago. Dennis was also becoming quite smitten with Evelyn's radiant beauty that continuously revealed more and more of itself as their affection for each other grew. Together they nourished each other's spirit and a genuine, wholesome love grew deeper and stronger. Dennis was so grateful to God for the grace that had been bestowed upon him that he vowed to learn all he could of faith and all things spiritual. He began to study the scriptures and became very active in the local church. As a result, he came to understand the provider of his redemption to be Jesus. He expressed to Evelyn his wish that they would dedicate their lives to their Lord and pursue a manner of living that reflected his righteousness. Dennis attempted to encourage Evelyn to join him in attending the Sunday services and even perhaps assist him in taking on more and more activities associated with the church. Initially, he was met with placid resistance, but the more urgently that he tried to convince her to participate, the more steadfast her reluctance became. Evelyn begged him to understand that her spirituality was a private matter. 8. George Hugh Hess. Although he knew that the scriptures spoke against such thinking and that there were no lone wolf Christians, he chose not to be overly pushy in regards to the matter. The community of believers and their pleasant demeanor was in stark contrast to the gruffness and outright debauchery that permeated the fishing community. Severe problems often arose as a result of the drunkenness and brawling that seemed to accompany that industry. It became well known that Dennis had overcome a problem with alcoholic drink. As a result, on more than a few occasions, Dennis was called upon to offer guidance and encouragement to some of those young men who had become too dependent on alcohol. He would work with the afflicted and help restore the man to sobriety and productivity. When he suggested that the man seek spiritual means to ensure his remedy, Isabel or another senior member of the fishing community intervened, suggesting that it wasn't really necessary and all the man needed to do was to maintain a sense of moderation. Dennis knew from experience that this solution was tenuous at best and invariably short-lived. In almost each case, the man's sobriety deteriorated and any success that had been achieved was negated, the man falling away, returning to his cups, and the misery that was sure to follow. Twice within the span of several months, young men whom Dennis had tried to help were predictably unable to maintain such levels of moderation. They went out to sea, never to return to port or their families. Presumably, they had fallen overboard as a result of their drunkenness. The fishing cooperative paid a death benefit to the widows of the unfortunate, and life went on. Dennis was shocked to discover that over the span of a few years, nearly half a dozen such instances had occurred aboard one particular vessel alone. The captain of this seemingly ill-fated boat was none other than Isabel's younger brother Stanley. Dennis discreetly asked around the village about this unlikely coincidence and reluctantly, as if it was a dirty little secret, it was revealed to him in confidence that it was a common quip for a drunkard to be warned by one of his deck mates that if he didn't shape up he could expect a transfer to Captain Stanley Morgan's ship. Although the boat was christened the Endeavor, it had been not so secretly nicknamed the Widowmaker. Although Dennis and Evelyn's cohabitation thus far had been one of absolute chastity, there were occasions where their passion and intimacy for each other became problematic. Dennis understood the benevolence endures nine need to do the right thing, and to him that meant that the proper thing for them to do would be to get married. Initially, Evelyn was excited at the prospect and in complete agreement. She spoke of a chaplain that was connected to Isabel's fishing company that they might use for the ceremony. Dennis flatly decried the idea, speaking instead of being married in the church before the community of believers. Within days, Evelyn's attitude and eagerness changed. Despite seeing her initial display of enthusiasm, Dennis was now perceptive to a hint of reluctance. This surprised and confounded him more than mildly. Dennis tried to comprehend the sudden about-face, but was unable to correctly determine the source of her unwillingness until he spoke with a brother from the congregation who explained that there were rumblings of dissent from within the fishing community, almost all of whom were not active members of the church. It was explained to him that a rift between the two communities had developed many years ago and a somewhat shady dispute concerning some money that was to be donated to the church was withdrawn by the Morgan patron on dare accusations of unethical business practices and cloudy mumblings of infidelity that involved the young daughter of the pastor and Isabel's late father. The pastor and his pregnant daughter were forced to move on. Much speculation was made that Isabel's family paid a handsome price for the man and his young family to relocate to another parish. Dennis tried to speak with Evelyn about these stories but found her to be completely unwilling to discuss the validity of the accusations. He was met with vehement objection, and it was clearly evident that the issue held a painful presence in Evelyn's psyche. Dennis recognized that insisting upon any further discourse regarding the subject was not going to be fruitful and would only lead to unrest. He decided to spare his beloved the discomfort of any such discussion and instead approached Isabel to see if she was willing to shed any light on the matter. At the mere mention of the pastor's name, Isabel fixed Dennis with a stare as cold as steel. Her face clouded over. With a stern, threatening tone of voice, she informed Dennis that he would be better off leaving matters that didn't concern him to lie in their proper place in the past, where they belonged. Her insinuation was that the issue was dead and would best remain buried. When Dennis objected that the matter pertained perfectly to him and his future bride and their relationship to the church, Isabel exploded. 10 George Hug Hess. Do not assign yourself more importance than you ought. Remember your place, she said, adding with a sneer, and be ever mindful that even that place can be, well, let's just say, adjusted. Dennis was taken aback. He had never seen this side of the Ma Triarch and struggled to accept that the kindly older woman could have, and in fact did have, a darker, more sinister side. Warning bells began to sound within his head. Immediately a discussion that he'd had some months ago with one of the townsfolk came to mind, where it was then delicately suggested that perhaps the death of Evelyn's husband had been more than a simple accident. Some held that the old woman was not happy with the marriage from the outset but relented to the arrangement due to the surprise pregnancy of her daughter. When Evelyn miscarried shortly after the wedding, Isabel made no secret of her displeasure with the young man, accusing him of being a drunkard and completely unsuitable to be the beneficiary of her family's wealth. Evelyn's husband refused to accept a transfer to Stanley's crew and a subsequent stint on the Endeavor or, for that matter, any other of her vessels. He took up employment with a carpenter in a nearby town, but when work became scarce, some say from pressure and a boycott initiated by Isabel, the tradesman had trouble making ends meet. The carpenter tried to struggle along, but the pressure from Isabel and her family proved to be too much for him, and he was forced to terminate Evelyn's husband's employment. Immediately, the tradesman's carpentry skills were once again in demand. 2 months later, the man's mother-in-law insisted that he accept a job at the shipyard cleaning the hulls of the boats that comprised her fishing fleet. The process involved each boat being lifted out of the water at the dry dock and supported by slings and a crane while the man worked beneath, scraping away barnacles and other sea growth. Mysteriously, one day a pulley slipped, sending the end of the boat the man was working under crashing to the ground, crushing Isabel's son-in-law, who'd been on the job less than a week. Many thought it curious that this particular boat, a derelict that no longer was sent to sea with the fleet, would even be slated for cleaning. It was usually moored at the wharf and had only been used to ferry the odd piece of equipment to other boats moored on the buoys that dotted the harbor. The rotting derelict was not called upon to perform even this duty for the past couple of years. The engine was no longer serviceable and the boat was widely suspected to be suffering a rat infestation. Once a playground for the children, even they were now forbidden to board her. However, for some reason Isabel had instructed that its hull be benevolence indoors 11 cleaned. Many were surprised by the action, as they expected the boat to be left to rot until scavenged of all useful amenities and then, like all other similar craft that had outlived their usefulness, it would be towed to sea and scuttled as a means of final disposal. The investigation into the mishap was brief, and many quietly conjectured that the event was more than an accident. Furthermore, in a later discussion that Dennis had with the late husband's friend, who incidentally was not employed by the fishing fleet, The man mentioned that he had spoken to the investigating deputy of the police chief regarding a conversation he'd had with the deceased, who revealed to him that Isabel had previously offered a large sum of money for him to leave the community and forsake his new bride. When the man refused, it was said that a fierce argument ensued, after which Isabel reportedly threatened the man, saying, "You will wish that you'd accepted my offer." Dennis learned that nothing came of the investigation, and a few months later, the police chief of the local constabulary began massive renovations to his house. It was rumored that the expenses were paid as a result of Isabel's generous contributions. It had long been known, and an unspoken dirty little secret, that if Isabel didn't want you around, you'd be wise just to run away. Many believe that the woman knew no bounds and would stop at nothing when it came to manipulation and the administering of her will. Later that night, Dennis spoke with his beloved Evelyn. Carefully, he explored with her the validity of their relationship and the plans for their wedding. Dennis was shaken to discover that her commitment seemed to be greatly diminishing. It was obvious that Evelyn had been under the influence of her mother, and despite a very real attachment, she made it clear that a marriage could only occur with the blessing of her mother. She said that it would only be under her auspices that they could ever hope to proceed in a spousal relationship. If Isabel dictated that Dennis should leave, Evelyn told him that she saw no alternative other than for that to be then brought about. She insisted that her love for him was genuine, but her loyalties must remain, and would remain, with her mother. Dennis was devastated. He could not reconcile himself to thinking that love could be thwarted in such a way. For the next 2 days, Dennis struggled with trying to figure out if Evelyn's love for him was simply the result of her loneliness and desperation. The question remained unresolved. 3 days later, he was summoned to Isabel's office, and upon his arrival, Isabel rose from her chair and unceremoniously yet per 12 George hug Hesfunctory and triumphantly handed him an envelope. He thumbed it open, revealing that it was crammed with cash. "Mr. Mitchell, it is time for you to take your leave," she said coolly. Dennis looked the woman in the eye and calmly placed the envelope on her desk. Turning to leave, over his shoulder he calmly spoke. "I will not take your money, Isabel. I know that it means much more to you than it does to me. I cannot be bought." As he pulled open the door to let himself out, Isabel said, "It's too bad, Dennis. You are a decent man, and under different circumstances." He never heard the conclusion of her remark as he shut the door on her words and strode down the steps. When he arrived home, he discovered that Evelyn was not there. He found a note containing 3 short sentences. It read, "Dennis. I'm sorry. I really am. You know the truth, take that with you." Dennis prayed for a long while. As much as it grieved him, he realized that the time had come for him to move on. Although his love for Evelyn was immense, he knew that at this particular moment she was not able to rise above her bondage to her mother. He knew not if perhaps one day the Holy Spirit would come upon her, or Isabel for that matter. It was not his responsibility to convert her or anybody else, forcing them to travel with him the narrow road. His responsibility had simply been to display and share the gift of his salvation and the joy that abounded within him as a result of his knowing that Jesus was the way to the truth and life. He had done that. He knew that the gate was narrow, and not all were able to find it. And of those that did, fewer still would be able to shed their worldly baggage enough to enter through it and dwell in the promise of the eternal. Still, he was saddened. The next day, with a heartbroken and seemingly all too inadequate goodbye, Dennis left the fishing community. He took up residence with a family from the church. Although he knew in his heart that he had made the right decision, occasionally doubt crept into his mind whether he should have remained in an effort to try to help turn his beloved Evelyn's life around. He realized that there was little, if anything, that he could have done in order to further enhance her relationship with Christ. He found solace in the wisdom of the Holy Scriptures warning that one should not be unequally yoked with another. In the following weeks he searched his heart and through much prayer and meditation, came to accept that for now, they just benevolence indoors 13 weren't meant to be. Despite the love that he held for Evelyn, he knew that he could not help her unless she wanted to be helped. He had to let her go, thus leaving her fate in God's hands where it belonged. He thought of her often and kept her in his prayers. He also prayed for Isabel and all of the fishing community that they too may come to the Lord and seek Him and the promise of salvation that came with trusting in God and coming to know that the way and the truth of life here on earth, as well as that of the eternal, rested in their acceptance that his son died on the cross for their sins. Dennis returned to the village twice, although he visited with Evelyn only once. The reception was decidedly cool, and the warmth that she had once felt for him had obviously dissipated. Dennis discovered that Evelyn had become more active in taking over the reins of the fishing co-op from her mother, and he'd learned from his brothers at the church that little had changed with the way things were being handled. He was informed many had witnessed the saddening transformation that saw Evelyn turn from a sweet, loving person to a somewhat callous, cruel, hard-hearted, tyrannical presence in the community. It was becoming increasingly evident that Evelyn seemed to care even less than Isabel when it came to dealing with the personal situations of those in the employ of the co-op. It had become Evelyn's responsibility to assign the crews to the boats, and even more drunkards found their way aboard her Uncle Stanley's Widowmaker, only to meet their demise. For years, the situation would tug at his heart, and Dennis never ceased praying for those he felt he had been called to leave behind.